Hi, this is Ann Glover, Homeless Engagement Coordinator for the Dallas Public Library. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please keep in mind that these are voices of our community, not necessarily the voices of the Dallas Public Library. We are here to support and get all the information we can so everyone can be well informed of what's happening in our community. Hi, I'm Suzanne, and I have with me Jennifer and Martin, and today we're going to be discussing staying outside versus staying in shelter and the transition of trying to get housing and being placed in housing. So we're going to talk about staying outside. How was the experience for both of you guys? Recently, we've been having a lot of bad weather. Have you guys had to experience any of the bad weather during a time frame that you would stay outside?
Yes, I have, especially when it was really windy. I used to sleep under a bridge with it's kind of complicated. Back when I had my apartment through DHA, I helped out some homeless friends that I met at the library, and one of them, I had no idea who he was until I already had my apartment, and then I decided to help him out a little bit, helped him out with some hygiene, helped him out with some showers, and once I became homeless, he returned the favor, and he had me stay at his camp, so I didn't really like, you know, some of the drugs that they were doing. I didn't want to get involved.
So when you say camp, are you meaning like Tent City?
Similar to Tent City. You know, it's at least I had somewhere to go to. It definitely wasn't the best. But the problem with being under a bridge is that a lot of the cars that come by, I think like the dust kind of floats around in the air, or the dirt floats around in the air because it gets everywhere. I was trying to be clean and I was still getting tons of dirt everywhere. I had no idea how.
You know, I was out for a whole winter. So, and I pretty much went out by myself, and I slept pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And a lot of it is just, you know, in the bad weather and things of that sort, you just got to make sure you keep your feet dry, keep good shoes on, keep all your stuff dry.
What's the worst night you can recall?
Probably not sleeping. When you don't get sleep, it makes for a bad day.
So what was a typical night for you? And not that you couldn't get hurt with you being a male, well, you've been a female. What was some of your concerns staying outside? And you said you was by yourself, so you had no protection.
Right. Just to keep moving, not interact with anybody that was outside.
Did you sleep the same place every night?
Probably the most I'd ever sleep in one spot was probably like 2 days.
So your concern was sleep and getting rest, and your concern was the dust and not being clean. No matter how hard you tried to be clean, the dust from cars, from the environment itself.
Yeah, it was kind of long-winded, but the point I was trying to get at was when it was excessively windy, the storms, like it would blow people's tents over, they would have to fix it, and then also the rain causing puddles and mud that we'd have to go through. Like, I found some a whole bunch of cardboard boxes and pizza boxes that I ended up using as kind of a walkway in a way because there was so much mud.
And water is really important, too.
When you're camping out, floods is a massive issue.
Just even having water with you, too.
Having water to drink or?
Having water to drink. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, a little bit.
So you're talking about water to drink, and your concern was the water, the rain, the floods.
Yeah, the weather.
The weather itself. So you said a whole winter. How did you stay warm?
Out in Dallas, it was a whole winter, but I've been on the streets elsewhere. Well, I had 2 bags of blankets and a very nice lawn plastic bag, one of the heavy, thick plastic bags.
So that was your experience outside. Where are both of you at today? Are you still outside or are you sheltered?
I actually am in housing. I got my housing through the bridge.
Can you tell me more about that experience?
I went into the bridge and I was there for a couple years, and it was, you know, a fortunate incident that I came up for housing.
What made you decide to leave the streets and go to the bridge? How did that transition happen?
It's something that was kind of taken out of my hands and kind of placed within certain other authorities. And I just kind of ended up where I ended up and kind of walked in through the bridge with pretty much nothing and regrouped from there. And
How was that experience? How did you make it 2 years at the bridge? You hear a lot of different stories about the bridge. Some are good, some are bad.
From my experience, I think the bridge is probably the best shelter. As far as resources, as far as the community, a lot of the other places, they have a lot of religion, and that gets to be overbearing.
So when you were at the bridge, that transition from being outside on the streets, going to the bridge, did you stay at the pavilion, then you moved into transitional shelter?
I was in the pavilion for about 2 years. So it's very difficult. It was very difficult. I mean, your whole day evolves around just like getting a shower, okay. You know, because everyone, the showers are crowded. just the way the curfews are and the time frames, they have to organize massive people, homeless people. So obviously there has to have some schedule and routine. But it really does make it difficult for you as an individual to kind of go and do your own things, because you either have to go to get something, you have to get more hygiene or take a shower, or, you know, just the little things that you take for granted.
What would be your advice to someone experiencing homelessness and want to go to the bridge, or are currently at the bridge and don't know how they're going to make it continue to follow those rules at the bridge or follow that procedure at the bridge? Because like you said, they're trying to help a mass of people. What would be your advice to them?
I think I've been on both sides. And there was, when I went out for a winter, I decided that I was never going back to a shelter because of all of that. So I think if that's ultimately what they want to do, you know, sleep under the stars or whatnot, then that's the freedom that they want.
Right. So basically you're saying, hey, this is better than where I was at. So I did what I had to do to be successful at the bridge. Mm-hmm. And now you have your housing. So this is a third transition for you.
Yes.
So how is that for you?
It's been a transition. It's been very, very good. But it's also been very odd.
Odd. What is odd?
Just you're so used to having a lot of people, having a schedule that you keep.
So what's your typical day now?
A typical day is showers really are 1, 2, 3, and, you know, a lot of getting involved in a lot of the community things. More so where I'm at, where I've been. I really enjoy the stew pot, a lot of the arts, and we also do the garden club.
So even though you're not experiencing homelessness anymore, you're still pretty active mm-hmm. in some of the community resources there are for the homeless.
I think it's one of the communities within this area that has very welcoming and very open, very genuine. Not everything is that way for everyone, but that was just my experience.
Okay, so where are you at today?
I'm currently sleeping at the bridge inside the pavilion. I lost my mat about a week ago because I was busy dealing with my storage unit, so I was late for curfew by maybe 10-15 minutes. And usually that's not an issue, but it really just depends on who's on shift. And this time it was like the head supervisor, but it became an issue and he said, sorry, basically you're SOL and you have to come back at 5 a.m. to talk to your caseworker tomorrow. I didn't really have time for that because I was still dealing with a storage unit. And the reason I was having to deal with the storage unit is because I was being evicted from it, from sleeping there. I got caught by one of the managers and he said that I had until the end of the month to get all my stuff out. Or he reserves the right to throw all of my stuff in the dumpster for me. So clearly, you know, that was the priority. And then Jennifer helped me out with a place to stay for a little bit while I was getting that sorted. And I just got back on a mat last night.
Great. So you're smiling. So are you relieved that you have your mat back now?
You know, there's been times where I've been homeless, you know, sleeping at, you know, Union Gospel Mission, UGM, where you have like a bad neighbor, somebody who snores really loud. But as far as I can tell, the mat that I'm on, I have some pretty good neighbors, so I'm pretty happy with it. I just need to focus tomorrow between 9 and 10 a.m. to get a locker so that I can store my blankets.
So what's your plans moving forward with your belongings? Because you stated earlier that you lost your storage, and I'm assuming having a storage in the homeless community is huge.
I moved all my stuff to a completely different storage unit about a mile and a half away by foot. So it was a very long process.
Very lengthy process.
How did you move it?
We just used rolling luggage, carrying it in backpacks.
So that's just a whole nother topic. Experiencing homeless and your personal belongings and storage and moving from A to B. So back to the bridge. So you went from outdoors to the bridge. So far, things have been successful for you at the bridge. What's your next plan of action?
My plan of action at the moment is that I'm enrolled in a few different housing programs. Dallas Housing Authority, DHA, MetroCare, and City Place, City Square, one of those two. Yeah, I keep getting those two mixed up. Yeah, I'm working on that, and I'm also working on getting back onto disability because I used to receive it back when I was in high school, and a little bit after, I lost it. So I'm just trying to get back on that.
Are you getting disability from mental health services? If you don't mind me asking, you don't have
I have no income whatsoever. I'm just trying to get myself started, you know, get my life back together. And I'm taking medication from MetroCare, like antidepressants. I'm just trying to work on it. It's really a waiting game. It's not too difficult. It's just kind of a lot of waiting.
A typical day is just a lot of waiting. We're talking about mental health. You mentioned mental health. So can you tell me from your perspective and maybe even your perspective, do you think it's harder to deal with your mental health being homeless?
I think so, because it's definitely a stressful environment with how crowded it is. And, you know, people argue really loudly at each other all the time at the bridge. And then, of course, you have the occasional schizophrenic who just talks to himself, like, really angrily in public. Like, there's this religious fanatic guy who, like, keeps waving his wrist in the air and preaching Bible verses.
It's really just a broken system, because people with mental health issues, they really need some other area to be in besides just the homeless. I mean, they say probably like 60%, 70% of the homeless community has mental health issues. And it's difficult to deal with a mental health issue, plus deal with the homeless community as well. I think that ultimately they need some type of more care. I'm not saying prejudice or anything like that. I'm just saying that they need more. Well, there needs to be more compassion and more of a system set up for the mental health areas, because it's just too much. And especially, I mean, just for the persons who don't have mental health issues, I know it's very intimidating. Plus, it puts you on edge when you have, you know, like when Martin was saying, someone who's very schizophrenic, and you don't know how they're going to react. And plus, when you're in a whole crowd of, you know, you have 100 people around you. And you have this guy next to you who's doing something very, very odd. I think there needs to be more of a line there and more care for the people who are actually homeless for financial and people who actually have mental health issues.
Some of our homeless neighbors that I come in contact with here at the library states the reason why they don't want to go to the bridge or another place is because of mental health, the mental health individuals and their behaviors. What would be your advice to that person that really need to go to a shelter to get shelter, but don't know how to deal with individuals experiencing mental health behaviors?
Listen to music, ignore people that say your name, even if you can hear them, and just keep walking. Just ignore it, be in your own world.
So how's the library experience been for you two?
I think it's been fantastic. I'm very grateful for the Wi-Fi. Sometimes it cuts out, but overall it is free. And I'm very grateful for the electricity as well, because since I don't have an apartment anymore, I can no longer wake up to having my phone fully charged. And that adds to the stress. And so coming to the library to have a quiet atmosphere where I can be here, charge my phone, and be on the Wi-Fi, it's fantastic. I'm very grateful that you guys are here.
I mean, those are like, you know, top stresses is getting your phone charged, having a charge on your phone, getting a shower in. I mean, those are things that take like all day, your whole time.
Those little things mean a lot.
Little things that you take for granted. I think ultimately the library has more of a, the respect of rules, the space, the quietness. I think that's something that's really calming, really soothing to the to a person who's around a lot of friction or static, which you get a lot at any shelter.
Well, I thank you both for taking time out to speak with us and sharing how you feel about different topics that individuals experiencing homelessness go through. Thank you.